Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know what? Stand back up. I'm sorry. Stand up on your feet. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's start by reading the word today. Let's read it all together. Let's make our good confession. You know that we read the word because it's the word of God. And then we make a confession. We agree this is the word of the Lord God. And everybody says amen, which means so be it. This is God's word. So let's venerate God's word. Read it with me. We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 3. Ready? I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is the word of the Lord God. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Now you may be seated. So the Bible instructs us to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. Now, how many of you enjoyed the bananas illustration last week? How many of you are enjoying this relationship renovations series? Is it helping? Is it helping? How many of you went bananas this week after I told the story and you went home and you realized I thought I knew things I didn't know? I was operating on assumptions, right? And a lot of times we make these assumptions in relationships. We operate on assumptions, and it's just, and so for those of you that weren't here, should I tell the story again? It's a short story. Let me tell the story again. It's bananas, okay? Mom decides she's going to make banana bread for the entire family because everyone loves it. So she buys a bunch of bananas, but how many of you know you have to let the bananas ripen before you can use it for banana bread? And so the husband comes down, notices the ripened bananas, and starts eating them. So she comes down, downstairs every day, and finally she's like, you know what, I don't want to make a big deal about it. I'm trying to make this banana bread. I don't want to make a big deal about it. I don't want to, you know, cause a fight. I'll just go buy a separate bunch of bananas, and I'll use that for banana bread. He can have all these bananas he wants. Well, then those start to get brown, and the husband starts eating all the brown bananas. And finally she gets so frustrated, she says, honey, why do you keep eating? I'm trying to make banana bread. And you keep eating all the ripe bananas. And he said, oh, thank God, I'm so sick of gooey bananas. I was just eating them because I didn't want you to feel like you wasted your money on them. Are you listening? Neither one of them talked about it. He had an assumption. She had an assumption. They were both well-intended. There was no malice. I genuinely want to help my wife. I find that oftentimes if I don't ask her before I try to help, I end up not being much of a help. So we have to understand, fellas, you got to ask your wife. And this works at work with your boss. It's not just a spousal thing. This is a relational thing. Sometimes we operate in assumptions between our kids, even our adult kids. Communication, man, you got to communicate. You have to say what's going on the inside of you. There has to be communication. Otherwise, we are relating to each other in ways that are based on assumptions and untruth, and it creates relational distance in our lives. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. So the Bible tells us that we're supposed to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, and then it doesn't stop and give us a list of do's and don'ts. It basically tells us if I'm going to walk in a manner worthy of my calling to Christ Jesus, I've got to be a really highly relational person. Whether I'm an extrovert or an introvert, just because you're an extrovert doesn't mean you're relational. I know lots of extroverts that get on everyone's nerves and can't get along with anybody. Are you with me? And just because you're an introvert doesn't mean that you're not relational. I know lots of introverts that are the kindest, sweetest, loveliest people. Are you with me? So I like how Pastor Jacob sums this up. Pastor Jacob says, strong relationships are built on love. Pastor Lee talked about love. grow with patience. We talked about patience last week. They deepen through forgiveness, and they're sustained by humility. Today, we're going to talk about deepening your relationships through forgiveness. And I'm just going to warn you, I'm going to meddle today. I'm going to meddle. But we need to. We need to, because forgiveness is one of those words. And ask me how I know it's going to be meddling, because I had to study this before I preached it. And I was driving in the city yesterday. If you know anything about me, you know me in traffic. That's a volatile situation. Melissa, just look straight ahead. Don't say anything. Just look straight ahead. Are you with me? So forgiveness is one of those words that we gloss over. We use it in everything. We talk about it all the time. We don't really know what it means. We never talk about what it really means. It's one of those Christianese words. Well, just forgive them. Or, oh, I forgive her, but, oh, I forgave them, but. You cannot put your but behind forgiveness, or it's not forgiveness. The word has no meaning if you have to say but. Now, I will get into, again, you guys know me, I'm going to put handles on the truth. I didn't say anything about boundaries yet, because you can forgive and still have boundaries. All right? But I want to give you an illustration before we get started, just like the banana illustration last week. I want to give you a great illustration, and then I'm going to tie it all together for you. So if I could please have Jason, if you'll come up here, run up here with me. So it's not even in my notes. It's just an illustration that I learned from the Holy Spirit years and years ago when I was trying to figure out Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, right? We're a faith church, right? We're a faith community. We believe God. Yep. Amen? Yep. Faith, right? But everything that you receive through faith comes by grace. Grace. We're saved by grace through faith. So faith is the channel, but grace is the source. And so when we go to Mark 11, 22, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Whoever speaks unto the mountain and says, be removed and be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will come to pass, he will have what he says. Amen. Listen to God's but, though. But when he stands praying, let him forgive. For if he does not forgive, neither can God. If grace is the source through which we use our faith and we clog our grace by not extending grace, that is literally, this is the hand of faith. And I'm holding on to unforgiveness, right? And God has blessing. We'll call this blessing. Call it blessed. Blessed. That's a blessing, right? And I'm saying, hey, God, will you bless me, please? This is a promise that you've given me. Will you bless me? Well, give it to me. No, I need it. Give it. God, you promised that to me. Give it to me. I cannot receive by faith without grace working. What do I have to do? Watch now. It's in the word. I'm going to explain it all to you. I have to let it. Everybody say, let it drop. I have to let it drop in order to take God's promise. Come on. Yeah. Praise God for it. Because the thing that I need, thank you. Thank you, Jason. Because the thing that I need to receive from God with is also the thing that I won't let go of. Grace is the source. Faith doesn't work apart from grace. Are you with me? Now let's get into this thing. You ready? So what makes a relationship deep is love and trust. The amount of love and trust that is in a relationship determines the depth of the relationship. Listen to me now. Trust must be earned. and it develops over time and testing. Trust gets developed by navigating trials and challenges together. We cultivate dependability with one another, right? It takes time to build trust that's not hard to break. So building or rebuilding trust requires a soft and tender heart towards one another. What keeps your heart from getting hard? Let me stop and say this. Again, we're talking about forgiveness. And I want to give you something the Holy Spirit said to someone else through me by a word of prophecy years ago, and I never forgot it. Okay? I want you to say it with me. Guard your heart, but don't harden it. Guard your heart. Trust is built and earned, or rebuilt or re-earned. You should guard your heart. Doesn't the Bible say guard your heart? Because out of it come all the issues of life. But it never says to harden your heart. There's a difference. Are you with me? And intuitively, we can kind of understand that there's a difference. Don't worry. I'll show you. Ready? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, say it with me, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Compassionate hearts. Watch this. Bearing one another. And if one has a complaint against another, there it is, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive. There's a lot in there. He gives us a model. He didn't say forgive. There is a forgiveness in the world. Just like there is a love in the world. But we are told to forgive like he forgives. Right? Now again, how do I guard my heart but not harden it? Well, how does God expect you? God offers you forgiveness on the front end of it, does he not? His heart towards you is good. So sometimes we can look at that and go, well, I just need to let them get away with whatever they want, because no. He offers you forgiveness on the front end, but it's dependent on something. Forgiveness is received through repentance. There's a boundary there, isn't there? I forgive you for everything you ever did, ever will do. You are forgiven. But if you continue in that behavior, you will still get the consequences of that behavior. Amen. And that's not up to me. So if you've created relational distance with someone, I will forgive you if you repent. If you don't repent of that behavior, it's not forgiveness. That's not forgiveness. That's enablement. That's not even in the notes, y'all. Forgiveness is, I want to be close to you, and I will let this drop. But you have to repent. That's why the Bible says if you draw near to him, he draws near to you. Right? That's why we say we go 1,000 steps away from God. He's only just one step back. But you have to take the turnaround. See it? Guard your heart, but don't harden it. Think about Christmas. Top of my head. Peace on earth. Goodwill towards men. God's will towards men is good. Who wants to bless you? He has a plan for your life. Jesus died for every sin you ever did commit, will commit. He wants a relationship with you. But in order for you to receive the forgiveness that's been paid for, you have to make a decision. That's a boundary. Are you with me? So how do we guard our heart without hardening it? That the key is in that word compassion. Okay? There's a key in that word compassion. He says, have compassionate hearts. Compassion. Let's talk about compassion for a minute. The Greek word, I'll read the Greek word to you. The Greek word for compassion is oiktirmos. It means care and concern and indicates mercy or compassion towards people from the perspective of God or other humans, right? Let me get a little linguistic with you, okay? We picked the word compassion in English to represent that word in Greek because it is a very good translation of the Greek word. It's a compound word that means with passion, and that's why we use compassion. Com means with, and passion. So you're to love them with passion. Think about it this way. You are with passion for them. You feel their hurt in your heart. That's compassion. You're with something from them that goes back to them. And the best way to describe this word in the Greek is you feel their pain in your heart. You feel their concern in your heart. Are you with me? We are so quick to judge other people for their behavior against us that sometimes we don't stop to ask ourselves why they behaved that way toward it. Aren't we supposed to forgive like God forgives? Well, God understands why you did what you did and offered you forgiveness on the front end of it if you will repent. Compassion means, I get it, man. I was in traffic yesterday and came this close to just popping off. I was angry. I was upset, and God understood that. We understand that between me and God. Oh, God knows my heart. Well, you should know their heart too. And it's just like what Mike was saying. The more of those little grudges that we hold, oh, I forgave them, but you've got files clogged up and your system's not going to run right. It's not going to function properly. Your faith isn't going to work properly. And I said this for years, going back to my illustration, I don't know about you. I'm believing God for too much to let some grudge I'm holding against somebody trip me up from getting. I want all that God's got for me. Amen? Let's praise God for it. Come on. I want everything. If he died for me to have it, I want to have it. I want to have it all. But most of life for me, well, for you too, most of life boils down to you against you. It's not even the devil. It's you against you. Are you with me? So the forgiveness we're expected to give is on the level that we received from Jesus. That's a different kind of forgiveness, which means I have to have compassion for the people that sinned against me, right? So I can guard my heart when trust has been broken, but I never harden my heart. Amen? Let's go to, how do I want to do this, Jesus? You know what, Andrew? Let's skip forward to Luke. I'm going to exegete here for a while. To Luke chapter 7. Watch this now. Watch Jesus, okay? One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman, everybody say that with me, immoral woman, we would say prostitute. So we all know what we're talking about, right? A certain prostitute from that city heard he was eating at the priest's house. The archbishop, right? So the Pope is at the archbishop's house and this prostitute comes in. That's the setting. She brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet and she wiped them off with her hair. And she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. This is a scandal. Are you with me? You got this prostitute weeping rubbing your feet with oil, kissing, weeping, this holy man in a holy man's house. Very religious. We don't cuss. We don't chew. We don't go with girls that do. No, no secular music. Nope. Are you with me? Touch not, taste not. Are you with me? Then Jesus, so the Pharisee who invited him saw this and he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. Question, did Jesus know what kind of a woman? Was this guy's idea of righteousness wrong? Then Jesus answered his thoughts. Jesus knew what he was thinking. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one, 50 pieces of silver to another. But neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. He forgave them, canceling their debts. Everybody say that with me. Canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more for that? I suppose the one whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said, look at this woman kneeling here. I entered your home. You didn't offer me water to wash my feet, but she's just washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has been anointing my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little only loves a little. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. Let's stop and talk about this. I will, Lord, thank you. I'm going to have to take my time on this. I can see. Let's stop and talk about this for a second. She is a prostitute. She has been forgiven. She knows she's been forgiven. She brings him this alabaster jar. Okay? Now again, she loves him because he has forgiven her of so much. The Pharisee is not willing to forgive her anything, but it's because he doesn't think he's been forgiven of much. I only speed a little. My sin looks a little different than yours, so I'm better than you. So when you act in a way of someone that's immature, I hold it against you because, you know, I would never act that way. But you're not basing your forgiveness on you. You're basing your forgiveness on Jesus. Right? Think about this. The one debt was a debt that was easily repayable. The 50 shekel debt, easily repayable. The 500, it would be impossible in that day and age. That'd be like you owing $1 million to the IRS right now. And they're like, it's going to stick. Guess where you're going to end up? Prison, because you can never pay that debt off. It's an unpayable debt. We look at ourselves as if our sin is really payable. Like, I can make up for my wrongdoing. But you? No. So we hold it against them. Come on. Yeah, come on. Come on. Instead of understanding, you could have never paid your debt either. Now, here's the thing. It's not love for the... We love because God first loved us. Listen to me now. This will change everything for you. It's not you loving them like Jesus does as much as it is you loving them because Jesus does. And you love him. You might get under my... Listen, it's a big difference. with just a few little words. Okay? I got kids on this front row. I have a relationship with him. I love him. Right? But his mom also loves him. So there's a third tier. When I look at him, I see his mom in him. Guys, if they're lost, they're his sheep. If you can't look at another person and see Jesus in them and love them because he's in them, then you need to work on your love for Jesus. Because if you love him, you love what he loves. Come on, we love because he first loved us. I went way off notes. This is Holy Ghost. We love them. I will forgive you no matter what you did for me. Doesn't mean I'm not going to have boundaries. Jesus, let's stop and talk. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's stop and talk about that. Let's talk about boundaries for a second. The alabaster jar was the proceeds from all of the prostitution. It was her life savings. She was pouring it out at his feet because she was saying, I'm no longer going to try to take care of myself in that way. I'm giving my protection and my provision over to you in worship. I've changed. There was change. There was life change. Right? And Jesus said, you have been forgiven. It's a done deal. See, we do that. I forgive them. But no. When you forgive, the word forgive, let's get into that. I'll tie. Remember the let it drop. The word forgive is the word charismai. We get charisma from it. Now we know, we've talked about that before. Charisma is like charismata. That's a grace gift. It's a gift. It comes from the word charis, which means freely given, right? What is grace? The root word for forgive is actually grace. That's why I was trying to tell you. That's why it plugs up your faith, because we receive from God by grace through faith. But if you're not extending grace, you clog the pipe and it gets stuck in your heart. It's your heart that's in the way. It's not God given, it's you not receiving because you're not forgiven and you're not walking in the grace that's been extended to you. Yes. Come on, somebody. It's your heart that's clogged. That's why we're talking about this. It's charismai, and it means, so we use the word for, I'm going to use the English word again because it's a great, we use the word on purpose. If I was to say forgive a lot of people, that's just a chewing gum word and it doesn't mean anything to anybody. But if I was to say forego, you would know what. So think about this. I remember a time in my life, I stood before a judge. And I was 16. And I had gotten myself into so much trouble that I was standing before a magistrate for something I didn't do. But it got blamed on me because they were just trying to get rid of me because I was a problem. And then my daddy showed up and saved me and got me out of the whole thing, and I was released into his custody and all of that stuff. But I stood in front of a magistrate, and he said, based on the custody issues here, we are going to forego sentencing you, and we're going to release you into your dad's custody under the provision, blah, 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 blah. What does forego mean? It means you're going to go before. For means before. Forego means if I'm going to forego a meeting, we're going to forego that meeting. It means we're going to go before the meeting ever happens. Right? So if I forgive, that means I'm giving it to you before you ever did the wrong thing. I'm willing and tender and open to relationship with you before you ever mess up. Come on, somebody. I want relationship with you. Well, I don't like them. Their attitude irritates me. Yeah, but Jesus is in them. Do you love Jesus? Jesus loves them. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus enough to love what he loves? And if you do, then you forgive. You let it, it literally means to give. It means to just let it drop. Does that make sense? Now again, that doesn't mean you don't have boundaries. What it means is there's no ought against you and goodwill towards you. Yes, I will, thank you. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. That's why the Bible says, as long, in Romans it says, thank you, Lord. It's in Romans it says, as much as depends on you, live at peace with all men. It doesn't say be at peace with all men all the time. It says as much as depends on you, because sometimes it doesn't depend on you, right? Sometimes people make themselves, and Jesus did say, love your enemy. Do good to those who hate you, who despitefully use you. Bless them, bless and do not curse. He's saying there are gonna be people that set themselves against you. It doesn't mean they're not, he didn't say they weren't your enemy. He said, as much as depends on you, don't hold aught in your heart against them. Have compassion and realize that either they're broken or they're hurting or they're just plain stupid. Amen. Right? But you wouldn't hold unintelligence against the child. Why would you? If they just don't know any better, they just don't know any better. Am I wrong? Let me quote Jesus. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. On the cross, in the middle of it, he looked out at them and he's like, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. Compassion. You see them through his eyes. You see him in them. And if you love him, it's an easy step for you to extend them the grace that he's extended to you, because he's offering it to them. And if he offers them grace, I want to be aligned with him. I love Jesus. My heart stands at attention at the mention of his name. He has forgiven me of much. He has been faithful, undeniably faithful, again and again and again and again and again. And so there are two sides to this, okay? And both of these are gonna run. I hardly even touched my notes today. But I feel like it's because the Holy Spirit really, I mean, I was faithful to the form of the message. The point of the message is the same, but I feel like just there are people in this room, you guys are struggling, right? There's this, you've got files that are corrupted. You've got all this junk in your head and you're carrying it around with you and it's just getting in the way. It's just extra weight. And you're believing God for big things and you've spoken to your mountain, but you're not getting the results that you think that you need, but it's because you're clogging up the pipe. Right? We're blessed to be a blessing. If you clog up the pipe, are you with me? And that's on you. That's up to you. Here's the good news. Remember we said teach the God side first, then teach the man side. It makes the man side a whole lot easier. Right? That's why I'm putting handles on this. Does forgive mean that trust is, I've given you trust back already. You get right back. Right? And that's what so look at the prodigal son. The prodigal son, he went, he did what he did. And he came back, and the older brother, because there's an older brother in all of us that's like, wait a second, now wait now. You ruined your chance, you ruined. There are consequences, you have to, if you notice, there were consequences. We never stop and talk about that. The prodigal son, there were consequences. He had wasted his inheritance. He had supremely limited what he would get in the future. Right? But his father did not allow that to create distance in their relationship. His father treated him just the same. Put the ring back on his finger. Put the shoes back on his feet. This is my son. We're throwing a party. Come on, somebody. God doesn't hold it against you. So why are you holding it against somebody? Do you need to have some boundaries? Yes, absolutely. It's healthy to have boundaries. Guard your heart, but don't harden it. Are you with me? And there's a difference. And here's where the Holy Spirit comes in, because how many of you have stage 3 liabetes? Because I got it. I lie to myself all the time, convince myself, right? I can have one more cookie. It ain't going to hurt. Are you with me? Well, they're going too slow. I'm just going to go around them. Stupid idiot. Daggum. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Anybody else get, traffic is just a problem for me, man. People, especially in Stillwater, Lord, I forgive them. I'm going to start doing that. I'll speed around them and I'll just be like, I forgive you. Because usually what I say is, moron. Are you with me? We get liabetes and we tell ourselves, no, I forgave them, but you know, I'm not going to trust them. Are you giving them a chance to earn trust back, or have you shut them out? Are you guarding? I will ask you. That's where I'm going to close today. I'm going to close there. I want to ask you. Okay? You have to be real with yourself, because this stuff, if you don't forgive, you're clogging up the works. I didn't say that. If you're believing God for big things in your life, if you've got mountains that you need to speak to, if you're trying to use your faith, if you're trying to overcome your own sin, if you're trying to overcome your own stuff, but you're holding on to what they said, what they did, you limit God's ability to come through for you. You do. And that's why, think about this. 1 John 1:9 says, well, and let me stop and talk about this too. I feel like the Holy Spirit's telling me to put some handles on a few things. Let's talk about apology for a second. Because some of you need forgiveness. So you might be, there's two sides to this coin, right? So repentance is a decision. The word repentance means to think differently afterward, or to change your intention, to change your mind. There's change in repentance. It's not, oh, I'm sorry. My bad, I'm sorry. Right? That's not really repentance. Are you with me? It's not. To throw up your hands and go, oh, my bad, I'm sorry. No. Repentance is, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. How can I make this right? That's repentance. And so an apology isn't, I used to struggle with this. Again, we have liabetes. I'm sorry you feel that way. That is not an apology. Here's an apology. I'm sorry if I made you feel that way. Can you tell me what I did to make you feel that way so that I can change? I hate that you have to walk around feeling that way, because it's not true. That is an apology. Are you with me? And we follow hard after God, right? So in this, there's a tug of war here. There's a tug of war between repentance is a one-time changing of your mind that becomes a habit. Oh, I'm not going to do that anymore. But that doesn't mean that you're not going to do it anymore. It means that every time you're tempted from that point on, you've made a quality decision that you're going to fight against that. That's not acceptable anymore. That's repentance. And forgiveness is the same way. It doesn't mean I forgive you and you're not going to ever have any ill will or feelings anymore. It doesn't mean that. Because then the devil will come in and say, you didn't forgive him, right? So listen, if I walked up to Mike and I punched him square in his face, and then we made up, he could forgive me, but my hand's still going to be broken. because he's got a hard head. Are you with me? So the damage isn't healed. You're not healed. Forgiveness means I'm not holding it against you. Remember that to give without thought of pay. Charismai is a grace gift with nothing in return. They don't have to pay for it. What is grace? It's unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor and blessing from God. It means I'm not holding it against you. I'm not holding it against you. Forgive them, they know not what they do. Does that mean I don't have boundaries? No. Boundaries, love creates boundaries. Boundaries are because I want a relationship with you. Boundaries are to protect the relationship. They're guardrails on the side of the road to keep you from getting off a track. Boundaries are healthy. Boundaries are good. They're safe. So guard your heart. But the boundaries are for the purpose of restoring trust and restoring the relationship. So don't harden your heart. Guard your heart, but don't harden your heart. Forgiveness is a decision too. I forgive you means I'm not going to hold this against you. And then when those feelings come up, you say the same thing that Jesus did. You have been forgiven. Nope, they've been forgiven. And if they do the same thing again and they nick your craw and they get under your skin and you can't do it in your own power, you can't do it because of your love for them, then you start doing it because of your love for Jesus and just because he asked you to. There are things that I would do for someone I didn't even know if that woman right there asked me to do it. I put my very life on the line. I would go over a cliff if that one right there asked me to do it. How much more for Jesus? They're his sheep. Whether they're found, whether they're lost, whether they ought to know better, they're his sheep. And the great thing is, just like what Mike was saying in transition, it's so awesome how God, through his Spirit, knits us all together, even in pre-service, tied all of this together. The more you clear out those junk files, the better your system starts to work. Are you with me? The more you get to receive from God. And I just feel like saying this to somebody here today. I learned this in a time of great pain and betrayal in my life. You respond to people, you don't respond to who they are being. You respond from who you are becoming. Come on, let's praise God for that. You don't respond to them. You respond from him. And he has a way of healing you. As you start to extend that grace, you start to receive that grace, and the woundedness goes away. And it's replaced by a strength and a resolve. Are you with me? So bow your heads with me. Really simple today. You got unforgiveness in your heart. You know you do. And you want to give it to Jesus right now. You want to lay it at his feet. Just raise your hands up. We won't get out of our seats today. We're just going to, I see all over the place. All over the place. Yep, I see. And there's some of you that have feelings of guilt that go along with your unforgiveness. Yep, I see that. Yep, I see it. There's guilt attached to it. And it's if you would let the unforgiveness go, the enemy wouldn't have any hold to throw condemnation at you. So let's pray together. Say this with me out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, I need Jesus. I declare, Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. Help me love like you love. Help me forgive like you have forgiven me. I commit. I make a new decision to walk in love, to forgive, and to trust you with the consequences. Thank you, Jesus, that you forgive me and you cleanse me of this. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I can just feel an ease right now, just right now, as you guys' hearts. There's a sense, there's a tangibility of that peace as your guys' hearts. And some of you, you've got a head issue. Your head won't let your heart. Your heart needs to be strong enough to tell your head sometimes to shut up because you don't know everything. And to trust Jesus and forgive. Say this out loud with me. The Bible says it. I believe it. And that settles it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said? All right, stand up on your feet. Come on. Thank you, Lord Jesus.